Welcome to the Cedar Creek Bible in a Year podcast. Whether you are listening on your own, with a friend, or a group of friends, we hope this podcast helps you connect with Scripture and also enriches your relationship with God. Here are your hosts, Luke Shortridge and Andy Rechtenwald.
Hello, everyone. Cedar Creek Radio is on the air. Luke Shortridge hanging out with Andy Rechtenwald. Andy, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
All right. Well, today we're talking about a book which we are arguing about how to pronounce. I say Philemon.
I say Philemon.
Philemon.
No, Philemon.
Like Philemon. That's the secondary possibility.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say Philemon.
Okay.
So as I was thinking about Philemon, I came up with nothing for my kind of opening trivia fun activity.
So it's just random?
Well, it's not random because Philemon made me think of filament, and I was thinking of inventors.
Okay.
Yeah. So
this is going to be bad.
We're going to do a little bit of inventor
trivia. Can we do
trivia.
Gone in 60 Seconds trivia? Because I know that movie very well, too.
No, we cannot. Okay. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to describe an invention, and I would like you to tell me the inventor. And we'll just do a little, get us warmed up here.
Okay.
Who did serious research in the 1880s into perfecting a filament for an incandescent light bulb? After thousands of trials, he settled on a carbon filament which could last more than 1,200 hours.
Thomas Edison?
Yeah, good job.
I heard, though.
That was the pre-question.
Yeah.
That wasn't the real question.
My brother had to do a term paper on light bulbs.
Don't you dare.
And
don't you dare say something against Thomas Edison. He is a patriot and an Ohioan.
Not the inventor of
light bulbs. Oh, come on. Yep. This is ridiculous.
This
smear campaign is going on too long.
Okay. Nikolai Tesla.
Look up Nikolai Tesla.
He is the man. Thomas Edison.
Not the man.
He's actually an answer to one of our questions in a minute here, so let's not talk about him quite yet.
You mean Nikolai Tesla?
Tesla.
Wait, no.
Tesla.
Tesla.
Stay with me here. This is my trivia.
Sorry, you're right. Sorry.
I have so few things in this world that I own, and this trivia segment is one of them.
So this trivia is kind of like a quiz or like a Tesla?
Oh, my gosh.
Tesla.
This is the worst opening segment ever.
Well.
All right. I nabbed these from Scientific American, which is much more prestigious than Mental Floss and the other Wikipedia sites I usually take from. This German blacksmith invented the printing press in 1450, and suddenly the masses could educate themselves. He changed Western civilization. It might be the most important invention ever. What is his name?
Johann Sebastian
Gutenberg?
Yes! Good job, Andy.
That's the Gutenberg Bible. That's how I remember that one.
Well done, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Who invented the motor for the gasoline-powered car in 1889? Hint, he was Das German.
He was what?
Das German.
He was Das German?
Das German.
Or Deutsch.
You just saw the Germans are always villains in movies.
Gosh, I don't know. Was his name Volkswagen or something like that?
No. You have a real guess?
No, that's my only guess.
Eric, you want to take a guess?
Yeah, it was Michael Mercedes.
Wait, is that real? Dang it, okay.
Gottlieb Daimler.
Well, really?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That rings a bell with Chrysler or something.
Oh, I thought his motors were like dime a dozen.
Daimler bought, so my dad works in the auto industry. He's worked for Jeep, my whole life. And he always joked that he goes, we used to tell everybody buy American, and then the Germans did. All right. Entertainment always will be important to people, and the moving picture has transformed the amusements of multitudes. What technical pioneer invented the moving picture?
Gosh, I don't know. Walt Disney?
No.
How do you expect me to know these things?
1800s.
Oh, wow. In the 1800s. Here's early 1800s, late 1800s.
Here's a hint.
MGM.
He's a great American and patriot, and the smear campaign has gone on too long.
Thomas
Edison?
Yes, good job. Well done.
I bet you he didn't invent that either.
Okay, that was a low blow.
Taking credit for other people's ideas?
That hurt me quite a bit, but we're going to keep going here. What Ohio brothers studied birds intensely for years and later test piloted a wing flyer in the field of Kitty Hawk, North Carolina?
You know what's funny about this question is I have a brother. We're both Ohio brothers, but we were both born in North Carolina. It's the Wright brothers. That's the answer.
Wow.
Yeah.
You guys are like the reverse Wright
we
brothers.
We are. That's what instead we were called.
Instead of inventing all, a plane, like, you invented the backward hat.
Growing up, that's what they called us. The Wright almost brothers.
They were funny? Responsible, and you look like a slob.
Like North Carolina and Ohio, they both kind of fight over that on their license plates, right? Because Ohio, it says
birthplace of aviation.
Birthplace of aviation, but North Carolina is first in flight. So it's like, ha-ha.
Do you know why they picked Kitty Hawk?
No.
Extremely windy.
Windy, yeah.
I picked it because it was unnaturally windy.
First of all, I don't look like a slob. I have a nice shirt on and khaki pants. I just have a hat on that's backwards. Just happens to be backwards.
Wright brothers. All the kids are doing like it.
What do you say?
Nothing. Okay, so this question is a three-parter, all having to do with wireless technology.
Great.
These men changed the way that we communicate forever, inventing the telegraph, telephone, and wireless telegraphy, which later evolved into the radio. We probably wouldn't be podcasting without them. Who are they, Andy? Can you give me any of the three?
Well, who invented Alexander Graham Bell is one of them.
Yes, telephone.
Nikola Tesla.
No.
He invented Peter everything. Verizon.
Peter Verizon. Johannin Sprint.
Yep. And then I think
Mark T-Mobile.
Juan AT&T.
Oh, come on now. Samuel there's a guy Morse code.
Morse code.
MCI, Morse Code International.
Who invented the radio? Marconi?
No, I thought that was a telegraph.
No, Giuglianmio? I don't know. Marconi what his first was name a is Marconi. No, he invented the radio. Look it up. Telegraph with Samuel Morse. Okay, we're going to keep moving on. The induction motor was largely responsible for the use of electricity in industry. Who invented this beast, which at one time powered 90% of all electric-powered manufacturing?
Thomas Edison?
No! Here's a hint. You've said his name 10 times already and been wrong every time.
Mark Verizon.
Oh, this is terrible. Eric, do you want to let us in?
Johannin Sprint.
Sam Cricket.
I hate you guys. It is Nikola Tesla.
Oh, who would have thought? I had no clue.
All right, here's our next question. This dude invented MySpace.
Tom.
Yes! Last name, nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
Next question.
He always had that like three-quarter look, right? He was like looking over his shoulder in his profile picture. Right? He was almost like a 90s sitcom. Like he was doing something else, and then you caught him, and there was like, Tom, underneath his...
Hey, guys, I just did something great. Somebody better is going to come along in 15 minutes.
That's right. I'm going to totally ruin it by allowing you to...
All right, next question. This dude invented Napster. Got sued, then he started a gaming company, sold it to Blizzard for millions. Now he is pioneering Screening Room.
The guy from the Italian Job.
No.
In the movie, he says that the guy who invented Napster took his idea when he was sleeping.
No.
Final answer.
Sean Fanning.
Well.
Yep.
Sean Fanning is a thief.
Next up.
You heard me.
This dude invented Facebook. Hint, he invented Facebook.
Jesse Eisenberg.
Okay.
Who played Mark Zuckerberg in the Facebook movie? Oh, good job. Network. I didn't see it, though. I just knew that.
All right, next question. This dude invented Laffy Taffy smashed flat with nerds in it and then rolled into a ball. Hint, it's delicious.
Willy Wonka.
No.
Oh. Luke Shortridge.
Yes, that is the answer. That's my invention.
Dang it, why wasn't
Thank you, Eric.
Attention.
I'm glad finally somebody's
recognizing
my contribution.
You know there's actually like a nerd's rope, right? Like that's
this is way different.
That's a real
this
thing.
This is nerds in a ball. All right, well, if you have a great invention, send it to us. Maybe it'll make a future podcast. We'll see. So, Andy, what do we know about Philemon?
You mean Philemon?
Philemon.
Well, we do know that it was written by Paul and Timothy to convince Philemon to accept his bondservant, Onesimus, back with open arms as a brother in Christ. Onesimus was Philemon's slave or bondservant. He escaped. There's some conjecture about what happened, but some people think that he stole some things when he escaped. He was not a believer when it happened. He came into contact with Paul, got saved, and then Paul is trying to convince Philemon to take him back as a brother in Christ.
Yeah, this book is fascinating.
It is.
Really, Paul is making a very bold ask, and he does it in such a way where I think Philemon would have real trouble saying no.
Right.
It's really interestingly crafted and worded. He's very complimentary, but he's also making a very bold ask at the same time.
Yeah, I agree.
So our author here, as we said, Paul and Timothy, not a lot of characters. I mean, this whole book is one chapter, so it's extremely short. But it's interesting. It's a little odd. And I think it's worth studying.
Yep.
What are some of the themes that we're going to see here, Andy?
We will see the power of the gospel to transform lives and impact human relationships. And then also the theme of reconciliation, because Paul's urging Philemon to reconcile with Onesimus.
Cool. So as we said, just one chapter, verses 1 through 20, greeting and appeal. And then he does have some personal remarks at the end. So we're going to actually read the entire book. It's never been done before in the history of our podcast. We're going to read the whole book.
That's so much
on
fun.
This show. We can do it together. Every week, though, we want to give you guys an opportunity to jump into God's Word with us. If you have a Bible, you can pull it out now. If you're listening on your phone, you can switch over to a Bible app. We're going to be in the New Living Translation. We're also going to have some questions as we go along. So if you're by yourself, take a moment and journal. If you're listening with a group of friends, you can stop the podcast after the questions and discuss. Andy, you want to take the first section of reading?
Sure.
We're going to do verses 1 through 7.
Says, this letter is from Paul, a prisoner for preaching the good news about Christ Jesus, and from our brother Timothy. I am writing to Philemon, our beloved co-worker, and to our sister Apphia, and to our fellow soldier Archippus, and to the church that meets in your house. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. I always thank my God when I pray for you, Philemon, because I keep hearing about your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love you have for God's people. And I'm praying that you would put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ. Your love has given me much joy and comfort, my brother, for your kindness has often refreshed the hearts of God's people.
All right, this is so cool. So Paul begins by talking about his generosity. You know, he's kind of saying, you know, I remember how generous you were, and that's such an important, awesome quality. Yeah. And he's really kind of setting something up later.
Yep.
But we'll stop there for a second. Andy, what does it mean to be generous? And in what ways does this go beyond finances?
I think generosity, it's often tied to finances for good reason, but also it means that you're open. It opens the first word that comes to mind.
Okay,
I talked about this in a previous podcast, but when Kayla and I were in between having a house and living in an apartment, we lived with Mark and Leslie Snyder, and that was an extreme example of generosity. They let us live with them for 2 months. So with a 14-month-old and two other grown adults, they let us live with them for 2 months. That's generosity to me, is being open and being willing to share what you have with others.
Yeah, I think generosity, really, it's the opposite of selfishness. So it's really living for others and, you know, really living beyond yourself is what it comes down to. Sarah and I were cleaning out our garage, and we found a cool letter from 10 years ago. So, and I remember this when it happened. I had forgotten about it, but there was a girl that was, I think she was maybe 13, 14 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was, and I knew her parents and stuff. As I was walking through the hall, I saw her and I could tell that her face was kind of red and she'd been crying. So I said, hey, what's going on? And she broke down. She starts sobbing. She said, you know, it's a really tough time right now for my family. I was all set up to go to camp and now my parents can't pay for it. And I really want to go, but I just can't. And my heart really broke for her.
Yeah.
And I knew a little bit of what was going on. And I said, you know what? I said, let me talk to Sarah. We'll see if we can do something about it. So after that, talk with Sarah, we decided, yep, we're gonna go ahead and be generous here. And we paid, I think it was like $150. But we thought, it's money well spent. She's going to junior high camp to learn about Christ. It was really an investment in her is what it came down to it. So wrote a letter to her. Had the money enclosed, figured out how much it was, sent it to her. So the letter that I had got that I found in my garage was, she wrote back to me, said thanks, gave me the money back, and said, I'm going to find a way to pay for it. Thank you for being there for me, but no, I can't accept it. And I remember what I did then, and so I took the money and I paid it directly on her behalf because I'm like, oh, no, you don't. And I remember hearing the quote, I think it was Driscoll, it said, I've never spent a dollar in Jesus' name that I wish I could have back.
Yep.
You know, 10 years ago, I don't know what else I would have spent that $150 on, but I sure am glad that I spent it on her and her future.
Yep.
So when I think about living generous, I think it's truly about living for others, putting their needs above your own.
I agree with that for sure.
All right, well, we're going to go ahead and move on to verse 8. We're going to read 8 through 16. That is why I am boldly asking a favor of you. I could demand it in the name of Christ because it is the right thing for you to do. But because of our love, I prefer simply to ask you, consider this as a request from me, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner for the sake of Christ Jesus. I appeal to you to show kindness to my child, Onesimus. I became his father in the faith while here in prison. Onesimus hasn't been much use to you in the past, but now he is very useful to both of us. I am sending him back to you, and with him comes my own heart. I wanted to keep him here with me while I am here in chains for preaching the good news, and he would have helped me on your behalf, but I didn't want to do anything without your consent. I wanted you to help because you were willing, not because you were forced. It seems you lost Onesimus for a while you could have had him back forever. He is no longer a slave to you. He is more than a slave, for he is a beloved brother, especially to me. Now he will mean much more to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. Hmm. All right, so he kind of makes the ask here, Andy. What do you see? So I think he could have came out and he could have just said, hey, you know the slave that ran away? I want him back. But he kind of sets it up eloquently, and he praises Philemon for his generosity. Yeah. He praises him for his good reputation.
Mm-hmm.
And then he does go ahead and make this ask. And I love that he says, I could have demanded it from you, but I'm not. He truly is asking, even though he's not really leaving him a lot of wiggle room for his answer, but he truly is asking.
Yeah, he's and this goes back to the whole slavery thing that we were talking about before. He's not trying to fight the institution of slavery here. He's not trying to fight anything like that.
Yep.
He's appealing to the brother, Philemon, and saying, hey, whatever happened with you and Onesimus, I know that it was bad. I know that something happened really, and now he became a Christian, and I'm sending him back to you, though I wanted him to stay here with me to help me. I'm sending him back to you anyway. I would like for you to treat him as a brother.
Yeah.
And he could have, Paul being being an apostle and being the one that started the church that Philemon was probably a part of, he could have said, you need to do this.
Sure.
But he didn't. Instead, he treated him with some sort of respect.
Or he could have just sent a letter saying, hey, you know what? This guy means more to me than he does to you.
Yep.
I'm taking him.
Yeah.
But he truly does send him back.
Yeah, it was a bold ask.
He does the honorable thing.
Mm-hmm.
So he makes a bold ask, and he does it really in bold faith that Philemon is going to do what he believes is the right thing.
Yep. Sure.
All right. So our question here is, have you ever made a bold ask of someone? How did they respond and what happened?
Well, we've both been through the internship program.
Yes.
And part of it is raising support. That's a lot of bold asks.
That's true.
To ask people to support you through the internship. And I got different responses depending on the person.
Yeah, good point.
That was the most out of my comfort zone I think I've ever been, is having to ask people to support me financially.
Did you have anybody that you asked that you were thinking, this is a shoe-in, you know, they're decently well off, they're definitely going to support me, and they just turned you down cold?
No, I did have people turn me down, but I never thought they were shoo-ins. I had people that I definitely thought would not, and they did.
Huh.
So
maybe I was just more arrogant and full of myself. Like, well, this is easy. I got this one down.
Well, you raised quite a bit, right?
A little over 10 grand.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. Well, so, I was thinking about this past year, I asked Lori Mitchell to go to Louisiana, and she said no. She said, I am working. It was like end of October. She said, you know, that's like the busy season of my job. There's just no way. So I'm like, okay, I understand. Well, she ended up, some crazy stuff went down at work and she ended up resigning. So I'm like, Lori. And she's like, no, she's like, I am not going. I don't want to. And I said, okay, how much have you prayed about this? And she like looked at me cross armed. She goes, okay, I haven't prayed about it yet. But the answer is no. And I said, I want you to pray about it. So about a week goes by and we meet again. And she's like, well, I prayed about it. And I think maybe God's calling me to go to Louisiana.
Wow.
And she's like, I talked to my husband and he said no. And then he came back an hour later and said, you should definitely go. So she's like, I think maybe I should go.
Wow.
Within 3 days, she had all the money raised.
That's incredible.
And it was a life-changing trip for her. It was awesome.
Yeah.
So it was fun. And I have no problem asking people to do things that are a little bit uncomfortable and get out of their comfort zone, especially because I knew it was going to be an awesome trip. But I'll still bring it up to her sometimes. I'll be like, Lori, remember Louisiana? She's like, shut up. She doesn't really say that. But she probably thinks it.
Maybe.
All right. Philemon, not Philemon, 1:17-25. Andy, you want to take it first?
Philemon 1:17-25.
Tell us about Philemon and Onesimus. That's his name, right?
Yep. Okay. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, and I won't mention that you owe me your very soul. Yes, my brother, please do me this favor. For the Lord's sake, give me this encouragement in Christ. I am confident as I write this letter that you will do what I ask and even more. One more thing. Please prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping that God will answer your prayers and let me return to you soon. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you his greetings. So do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my co-workers. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit.
All right, Paul is awesome. Mm-hmm. So as he finishes this, he says, you know what? If your slave owes you anything, I'll repay it. And I won't mention that you owe me your very soul, right. Which is hilarious.
Oh, and by the way, please prepare a room for me. I might be stopping by soon.
Yeah. And then he's so audacious in his asking here, but I love it because he knows the character of the man. He knows the person that he is writing to, and he knows that it is going to be well received.
Yeah.
He's just boldly confident that that's how it's going to go.
Sure.
I think that there is something to be learned here about how Christians should treat each other, that we should never make demands of each other, but I think that we can make bold asks of other people, you know, especially when you look at something like raising support or other things you know, Paul knows that we're called to a life of generosity, and he's not afraid to hold other people to that standard, which I think is pretty cool.
Sure.
Our question here then, is there anyone that you are currently praying for? How would you like to see God move in his or her life?
Praying for a lot of different people, but I'm always praying for my dad, who is not a churchgoer.
Okay.
Always praying for my dad. I mean, we always used to do, as a staff, we would write down who we were inviting church for a big invite or for an Easter service or Christmas or whatever, and it was always my dad is on there. So he's been a couple times. And he came for Ruby's dedication one time, but I'm always praying for him. Yeah.
So I think it's just important practice. Every time we do our campus pastor meeting, Ed McCauley always asks us what our something that we're celebrating, what is a challenge, and then a prayer request. So every time without fail, when it gets back to him for prayer, he's like, you know, I'm just really praying for Ben right now. You know, he's our leader. I think that's what God called us to do. Without fail, every week, he says he's praying for Ben.
Yeah.
And it's really a discipline for him.
Sure.
He said the pastor Alfred from Louisiana always made it a point to say, pray for your pastor, pray for your pastor, that the weight of the world is on his shoulders. And I totally think that's true. So I know this is kind of a cliche answer, but I'm praying for Ben. I've just kind of put it in my daily prayer rhythm. I would ask anybody listening to do the same. I also pray for Lauren because she's under just as much strain and pressure as well. And I pray for their kids.
Definitely.
You know, their kids are growing up in a fishbowl, and it's awesome, the call to ministry that they have, but I know it's going to be challenging as well.
Sure.
I know the pressures that are on my kids even, and it's not really apples to apples, but it's tough growing up today. So I pray for Ben's kids as well.
Sure. That's cool.
Cool.
I think we were asked when he stepped in, Lee asked us all to pray for him.
Yeah, that's right.
Him and Lauren, and especially because of the, not just the pressure, but the spiritual warfare that's probably even more so prevalent in his life now that he's the senior pastor here.
Yep.
So that's something that's been on my prayer list, him and Lauren for sure, all the time.
Cool. So when I think about this book and just conclusions walking away, I would say, you know, we are able to ask boldly of God. We're able to boldly approach his throne. And I think that God wants to hear our needs and our requests. He wants us to bring those to him. Now, he doesn't always give us the ask. He doesn't always give us the answer to the ask that we want, but he hears each and every time that we do. So I guess my takeaway is it is okay and it is right to take our supplication requests to God.
Sure, I agree.
Cool. All right, Andy, how do people get a hold of us?
On Facebook, you can add us as a friend there, or you can go and email us at podcast@cedarcreek.tv. We would, if you enjoy the podcast, we would appreciate a review in the iTunes store, or if you'd share the link on your Facebook page so that others can access the podcast.
Okay, I had a comment this week. This was an in-person comment from one of our podcast listeners.
Okay.
And they said, Luke, why does it always sound like doors are opening during the podcast? Andy, would you like to answer?
Should I answer, producer?
Yeah, sure. If there's any donors out there that want to pay for a giant studio for us, that'd be great.
Yeah, we actually film, or film is not the correct word.
Definitely not film.
We record the podcast in the bride's room outside the chapel in the Perrysburg campus. So we are next to the women's bathroom, and we're in between the women's bathroom and the men's bathroom, and so you're hearing people go into the bathroom. That's what you're hearing.
There's no proper answer to that question.
I promise you we're professionals.
Not just people. You're hearing women go into the women's bathroom.
Yeah. Especially if we record during momentum.
Yeah.
We have no shot of getting through this without some auxiliary noise.
It's literally a revolving door.
Yeah. So there you go. Hey.
There you go.
You ask a dangerous question, you get a
dangerous answer.
Okay.
Oh, bold. Sorry. We're
totally not on the same page.
Yep. Sorry. Yep. It's like we were reading each other's
sandwiches.
Sandwiches.
I was gonna say head, like our heads. But I guess we were wrong.
Andy, what's our next book?
Hebrews, which is one of my favorite books of the Bible.
Sweet. Love Can't Hebrews. Wait. All right. Until next time.
See ya.
Arrivederci.
What does that mean?
It's Italian.
For what? Oh, boy. All right.
So, Andy, I have a real invention that I think potentially could be worth millions. If I say it on the podcast, though, somebody else can steal it. So
possibly, but if you're...
I'm going to take the risk. Here's my idea.
Oh, boy.
It's called Snappy Birthday. So, you know, don't laugh yet. You haven't heard the idea. You know how when kids have their birthday cakes and they blow on the cake and they spit on it and it just... They stick their finger in it and it's disgusting? Here's my idea. Mm-hmm. So you have, like, a base and then you have a plastic covering that would snap over the cake and then you would have holes cut out that you could put the candle in, so the candle would go into the cake, but it would be covered by a plastic protective case, and then after the kids blow the candles out, you just take the case off, and your cake is protected. What do you think?
So it's like a spit guard at a
yes,
buffet.
That's right.
That's
it's
not
a
bad.
Spit guard for 5
How much
year olds.
Would you charge for it?
I was thinking $19.95. I don't know.
For a cake?
Well,
cover?
It's the base, so there's like a, and then there's... You know, different sized snaps that would go over it. Snappy Birthday.
Oh, what's your target market though?
5-year-olds, parents.
I've been watching a lot of Shark Tank lately.
Nah. Yeah.
How much are they going to charge you to make it?
Who's we could be partners.
Are you going to work out of your house? Do you have a staff?
We're going to have to probably get to like.
If I want to be a partner, what would be my initial investment?
You want to be a partner?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like, what would be our investment and what percentage would I get?
I would want Subway lunch. And I'll give you.
I don't think he's being
oh my gosh!
20%
I can't
steak.
Trust you if you want Subway lunch. I mean, that's like a, that's a serious. I would say that's a serious lapse in judgment.
That's a serious accusation.
I'm out.
Okay.
I'm out of this one.
Well, 25%. You got one person left. It's just me. Here's what I'm going to offer you. I want 10% of your company.
Okay.
And I will give you $100,000 of starting money, on the condition that you repay that money within 2 years.
And you have to name it Rechtenwald's Snappy Birthday.
It sounds like rectum.
Can't do Dang that. It! All right, I'm out.
Dang it,
Cuban.
Next idea.
Okay. I also had an idea of
go on
blinking lights at stop signs to like catch your attention, and then somebody invented it out from under me. Dang
out
it!
From under you.
Gosh, I even thought like solar power cells. They did that already. If I 20 years ago could have had the foresight, I would not be sitting here.
Foresight.
Wait, I thought 20 years ago, once. If you could have had the foresight?
Yes.
Yeah, well, and also like the high school education and everything.
I was
like
13.
That.
Okay, so here's an invention I thought of that is totally impractical and would never work, but I thought about it once, is you could produce some sort of in the concrete heating element that you would have in the roads during the winter that would melt the ice.
Okay.
It'd be solar powered and it would heat.
But
the problem is if it breaks, you got to tear apart the road.
They actually have that.
Yeah, I think they
have
it.
Yeah, not for streets, but like. In
like a driveway or something?
Well, no, like so my parents were in the car wash business, right? And so if you notice, in a car wash, the bay, when it's cold out, I mean, there's water all the time, but it's never frozen.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Because there are pipes that are in the concrete that are full of hot water.
Ah.
But are they solar powered?
Touche.
Okay, my invention's still on.
All right, let's get to the Shark Tank. Rechtenwald's
pipes.
I appeal to you to show kindness to my child, Onimus. I became his father. What's his name? Is it not Onimus?
Onesimus.
Onesimus.
Why isn't it Onesimus. Why is it one?
I've always heard it. I've always heard it pronounced as Onesimus.
Oh, I thought it was Onesimus.
It could be Onesimus.
Yeah, try I'm that. I'm gonna say Eric's right. All right, I'm gonna start over. I appeal to you to show kindness to my brother Onesimus. Dang it! Oh, I'm glad I never preached on this.
Yeah, seriously.
All right, I'm gonna try it again. This time it's gonna work. Are you periscoping this?
No. Something not. Much better.